And I just, and this is for you, Michael and team, I just, because every time he would come, we have been through several music people, every time he would come, he would give me a private critique. I just wish he was alive, and of course he's probably paying attention right now, but he would be pleased. That's the biggest compliment I can give you. You don't even know it. Ah, my sermon's so dry, I have to wash it down. Here we go. So where have we been here? We have been, what was the first one? Anybody remember anything? Father, forgive them, because we don't know what they don't know what they're doing. Then what? Today you'll be with me in paradise. Then what? Mother, behold your son. Behold your son, Father. Last time was Ele, Ele, Lama Sabachthani, right? My God, why have you forsaken me? Four things that were directed at other people, and then all of a sudden he switches and directs something towards himself, which is today, which is I thirst. Now, I say all that to say, I'm not so sure that, I mean, yes, he was absolutely thirsty. He was very human. You know, Jesus was very human. I don't know if you realize this, but he got tired. In fact, the story that we all know about this I thirst thing, which is what most guys cover during talking about where Jesus said, I'm thirsty, is where he was the woman at the well. And in fact, I'll share that little short blurb of that for you just so you can see what I'm talking about. But the Bible says that he was extremely tired and sat down and sent the guys on to get something to eat because he was too tired to go. And then he did the whole water thing. So he got tired, and by the way, he got sleepy. If you'll remember, he fell asleep in a boat and slept through the storm, so he was pretty worn out, right? He got mad, chased all the people out of the temple, screaming at him. He was very human, but yet he was very God. So in this particular case, here's the scripture. Jesus knew that his mission was now finished, and to fulfill scripture, he said, I'm thirsty. A jar of sour wine was sitting there, so they soaked a sponge in it and put it on a hyssop branch and held it up to his lips. Interesting, isn't it? Here's what I want you to see. Those first four statements that he did, again, were concerning other people, man. That was his heart. And then on this fifth one, he got to where it was seemingly about himself, though it was about Scripture. But what I want you to understand is that we actually can be like him, and we can be selfless, and we can selfless. Did you hear what I said? Not selfish, selfless. We can be that. In the midst of our pain, we can serve other people. In the midst of whatever we're going through, we're to serve other people. It's very scriptural. This is a prime example of it, but here's what's so ironic. What scripture did he fulfill? Let's look at it. This is the prophetic word that David spoke, though he spoke it concerning himself. If you'll read all of 22, and well, throughout the whole Psalms, this is it. My life is poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. Obviously, David was prophesying. Never once in the history of David's life was any bone out of joint. I want you to understand that, because some people will try to say this wasn't about Christ. It absolutely was about Christ. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax melting within me. My strength has dried up like sun-baked clay. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. He's thirsty. Psalm 69, I believe, is the next one. Their insults have broken my heart. Again, a prophetic word concerning Christ. Their insults have broken my heart, and I'm in despair. Their insults have broken my heart. See, we all just think that he was just this stoic man, but when those guys were spitting on him, and those guys were speaking evil of him, and those guys were saying all the things bad concerning him, though the word says he sat in silence, it still got to him. Do you hear what I'm saying? May I suggest to you, you might want to keep your mouth shut on those times. You don't have to, you know. Their insults have broken my heart. It gets to me for some reason, and I'm in despair. If only one person would show some kind of pity, if only one would turn and comfort me, but instead, they give me poison for food, and they offer me sour wine for my thirst. Which, by the way, just so you know, historically, there was a big bucket of sour. The Romans, this is something they actually drank. It was vinegar is what it is, both in the Greek and in the Hebrew. It was vinegar, which sounds nasty, but it had a drink, and this is what Romans would drink. But what would happen when somebody was dying, to ease their pain, It had an anesthetic thing to it, right? So Jesus said, I'm thirsty. And I know Jesus was talking, he's thirsty about water, because that's all he ever talked about. But then they put the sour wine up to him. The Bible says it got to him. You have people who say he refused it. You can't prove that. You have people who say he drank it. You can't prove that. So here's what I can prove. That he wasn't just thirsty, that he was fulfilling purpose and prophecy in this. And I can also prove, part of me feels like the reason he said, I'm thirsty, is because he wanted to make it very clear to everybody around him he was alive. By that point in time, ladies and gentlemen, he should have been dead. By after the whipping that he took with the cat of nine tails that had the bone charge in it and ripped the back of his body and his walk down the thing and him then putting him on the cross, he should have been dead. But he wanted them to know. And you know why? This is exactly why. This scripture right here. The Father loves me because I sacrificed my life so I may take it back again. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily. For I have the authority to lay it down and when I want to, and also to take it up again. He also had the authority to turn everybody into toads and make them croak. Doesn't say that, but it's true. For this is what my Father has commanded. So I just want you to understand that everything and all these last things of Christ were prophetically fulfilled, but this particular one, I find it interesting that the Apostle John wanted people to know that's what happened. But here's the scenario where most everybody goes to when you're talking about this whole thing concerning Christ and this I thirst, and this is where the scenario where he came into Samaria. Let's go to that next scripture. So he comes into the scenario is here's the Samaritan woman. She's there to draw water at the well, which, by the way, the reason that Samaritan woman is there to draw water at the well at that afternoon instead of in the morning is because they hated the Samaritan women, and they had to wait till everybody else was done so they could go there without being harassed. So Jesus replied to her after he had said, girl, would you draw me some water? And she said, Why would you want me to draw you some water? I am a Samaritan. And he said, well, Jesus replied, if you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. But sir, back up. But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket, she said, and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed? Is that all? No. And then Jesus replied, anybody who drinks this water will become thirsty again. It's true. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes, this is important, a fresh bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. I mentioned this couple of Sundays ago, just an epiphany that God had given me. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't go to God to draw from Him so that we can somehow, especially you leaders that do teaching, especially so we can somehow draw from Him to present and give to people. No. We're supposed to drink, and it's from that bubbly spring in our lives, and that bubbling spring ain't for you, baby. It's to let flow out. Rivers of living water will flow from you, and that's to other people that you love and you serve. Do you hear me? Love that scripture, and I should probably really was thinking about running with it, but then something occurred to me. I really got hung up on thirst, because thirst is an interesting animal. Do you know how important water is to our physical bodies? My sermon kind of is turning into I'm assuming a parable, because it's kind of like what's true about what life is. Water determines our strength and our energy on a daily basis. Our body is 2/3 water. Man, you wanna go on a diet? Quit drinking water. And you'll shrivel up and you'll die. Watch this. 2/3 of our body's water. And did you know we absorb cold water better than we do hot water? It stays in our system. Water. Oh, here's your diet. Here it is. Water consumption decreases fat deposits and suppresses appetite. So the next time you're famished or hungry, drink you about 8 ounces of water. That'll slow you down. Huh? Everybody's like, oh, I don't know. Now, this is what I want you to hear. If we lose 2% of our body's water supply, our energy decreases by 20%. If we lose 2%, our energy decreases by 20%. If we lose 10%, we can't walk. If you lose 20% of your of water in your body, you're dead. You're dead. So that means we've got to have at least 81% of water. But understand, again, 2/3 of our... Here's where this turned for me, and I really had a thing going with the Lord concerning thirst, you know, because we talk about being thirsty for God and you know, and all these things. But I was reading WebMD online. WebMD, y'all are familiar with it, right? If you're like me and you don't have health insurance, every time you get something, you just go to WebMD, and then you can determine which area to pray for. And thus far, it's working for me. Amen. So this is a quote I took from there. It's talking about water. It says, wow, okay. It says, quote, you may not replace the water in you that you've lost because you're busy and forget to drink enough, or because you don't realize that you're thirsty. So here's the thing that came to me this week. We are all thirsty for God, whether we recognize the thirst or not. So we don't have to go to God. When we go to God, it's not, oh God, make me thirsty. We all need our spirit replenished. It's a constant in everything. So not realizing that we need it doesn't change the fact that we need it. Do you hear me? So if somebody says to me now that I get this, Tommy, you come up to me and say, are you thirsty for God? I'm like, well, yes, I am, because I need it. Now, let's get really funny here. This is what's interesting. You can have a loss for thirst, where you don't realize that you're thirsty, though your body needs to be replenished with water. Now listen, he who has an ear to hear, this is what Jesus would say, listen, hear, and understand what the Spirit of the Lord says today. Not realizing it doesn't change the fact that we need water. And so there are people, here's one. Elderly people lose their sense of thirst in their bodies. Maybe it's because they've been around for so long. I don't know what it is. But they lose their thirst. And it just made me think of people who've known Jesus forever. They lose their thirst. Though they're still thirsty, their body, their spiritual man still needs it, they don't see their thirst because, you know, well, we've been there, done that, bought the bag of chips on that. You know, we used to, you know, it's the old church song, I Shall Not Be Moved. I remember in churches back in my day when there were some pretty heavy-handed churches, that song was the anthem of some of the elderly. I shall not be moved. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah, and anything new or anything. And what's so silly is it's so self-conscious. Here's what happens. A church either explodes or implodes. Exploding churches are similar to us, I believe, and even though it's like different understanding of explosion. But we explode because our focus is outside of ourselves and into our community. There are those who literally, come on, man, 5 or 6 years ago, I read in the paper, deacon walks in and kills another deacon because they were arguing over the color of the carpet for the church. So you kill the deacon. That's Jesus, man. I want you to understand the dead one and the alive one both were thirsty and didn't realize it. Maybe they had just been around a long time. That's one thought. Here's another one. This is crazy. Anorexia. Those who have anorexia, everybody understands what anorexia is, right? It's where little Karen Carpenter, I always think of her because she had the most beautiful voice. And she died of anorexia, where you refuse to eat because of why? Because you have an image of yourself that simply isn't true. Do you hear me? So we can, in fact, I was deployed to Sri Lanka, of all places, and somehow there was about 15 of us that were deployed over there back when the tsunami hit in 07, I think it was, and somehow slipping through the cracks of background, they sent a girl that was an anorexic, and she wasn't older. I mean, she was like in her 60s, and we ended up having to send her home after a day because her purpose was to come to Sri Lanka and die, you know, doing the thing that she had her heart to do. Anorexia is us looking at ourselves in a mirror and seeing something that is ugly when nobody else sees it. Listen to me. Until we understand when God looks at us through those blood-stained glasses and sees that we are perfect, not because of what we have done, but because of what Christ did, we are in the same boat. We have a self-image, and we end up turning into self-hatred, and the extreme of that is anorexia, where someone doesn't even recognize that they're thirsty, yet they are. They die of thirst. And then another one, and this is what's funny to me, is a hangover. Now, people who are in the midst of a hangover don't realize that they're thirsty. What happens, they get dehydrated. A lot of us, because if you got really drunk, you just like barfed up and you have to really replenish. But here's what I love about this. Definition in the Bible, I almost said, in the dictionary, the first definition, not the second or third. Second or third is the hangover drunk person. The first one is something that remains from what is in the past. It hangs over. But that's the real meaning of the word hangover. Obviously, we've attached it to the drinking side, and it's hung over from last night. Listen to me. When we hang on to something in the past, we do not recognize, and we do not want to think that we're thirst. Our body thirsts to replenish what we have. If that's all we hang on to, what do you think Jesus said? Put your hands to the plow and don't look back. Don't look back. Well, how do I not look back? I tell this to people all the time. Turn a corner. Because once you turn a corner, even if you look back, it's different than where you were. Do you hear me? Because, you know, you can go 100 miles straight ahead and still see the remnants of it when you look back. Jesus meant it and He said it, and there's purpose in it. When you look in that your mirror that looks behind you in your vehicle, and it says, what does it say? The image behind you is not, what does it say? Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Is that what yours says?
Yes, it does.
Okay. I get tickets, but hey, it's there. No, I get you, Jane. So you got to quit. So now all of this led me to the biggest cause, obviously, of thirst is dehydration. Now, here's what's ironic. We don't lose our thirst. Like, if we're working out or something, and we get thirsty, and we'll drink the water, here's what I love too, man. This is so, he who has an ear to hear. Dude, I am never more thirsty than when I eat salty peanuts or salty anything. You know why? Because salt makes you thirsty. That's why we're to be the salt of the earth. Now, Jesus didn't say stuff just to be funny. We're the salt of the earth. So what does that mean? Make people thirsty. You don't turn them away from you. I wrote a book on that, by the way, just in case you want to ever read it. So here's what I'm telling you. Sometimes we're dehydrated and we don't know it. There's symptoms and I'm going to help you in the natural, and hopefully you'll attach these to the supernatural. In the natural, there are signs that we can see in our bodies to realize, even though we don't feel like we're thirsty, we are thirsty. All right? And I just wrote down several of the symptoms of dehydration. And again, even if we're not thirsty, it doesn't change the fact that we can be dehydrated. I actually will watch the veins in my hand, because that's a lot of ways you can tell. But the first one I wrote down is constipation. Constipation is a sign that you're dehydrated. Constipation, you might say, that's maybe somebody that's full of themselves. The worst thing about constipation and being full of yourself is you don't recognize the need for thirst. That's why Jesus came. That's why he said, I didn't come to abolish the law, I came to fulfill it. And then he made it harder to do, because he wanted us to see how desperate we need a Savior. See, if we don't recognize we need a Savior, we're not going to reach out to a Savior. If we think we can do it all on our own, we can do that. And again, we all know people who are constipated, and whether they've chosen Jesus or not, are constipated and are full of themselves and feel like they can handle everything that they've ever done, and they know everything, and da-da-da. You get what I'm saying? There's a thirst there, and they don't even see it. Then there's lethargy, which that literally means there's no interest or no value. When we do life and we just don't care anymore. You know, it was that old joke between the difference between empathy and apathy. And somebody says, the difference between empathy and apathy, I don't know and I don't care. Because that is the difference between empathy and apathy. But listen to me. When we get lethargic, and again, a lot of this, I believe, has to do with age and Christianity. Here's what stirred all of this inside of me. There are some things happening in life with believers that I love and know, and I can't wrap my brain around it. You hear what I'm saying? Guys, it's, for me, Stephen Eugene Van Zandt, pastor of Christian Center Fort Worth, this thing that we call Christianity is a life. It's our life. And if we're really doing life, and that's what this whole year is about, right? High life. High, not high. High life, which is in the Hebrew. Zoe life, which is in the Greek. Put them both together, and it's abundant life in every single avenue. Jesus said, I came to give you life. And life abundant, but we will never walk in that life till we drink and drink and drink and drink and drink. So lethargy, literally that word means no interest, no value, nothing. Also, one of the symptoms, here's what's interesting too, is a headache. We get a headache when we are dehydrated. Now, let me tell you what causes that. Watch, this is so good for me. The brain needs fluid to function properly. Our brain is made that it has to have water so that it can function properly. Why do you think Jesus said, I will renew you by the transformation of your mind? Metanoia, which is where everybody's put the word repent. Metanoia. Change your mind. It's our mind. We water our mind. How do we water our mind? With the Word. The Word will speak it to you. When you feel this horrible thing coming on and this headache of I hate what I'm doing, or I hate that person, I hate that. He water the Word, water your mind. The mind, how do I water it? I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Water your mind, and then the headache will go away. But because the brain has to have that, which also leads into the next thought, which is what else it gives you, is what's called brain fog. Let me tell you, I think this happens. Like when my Leah died, I call it the God fog. But what happens is you can't function. You can't. I would make a pot of coffee, and go sit down, get back up, pour it out, and make another pot of coffee before I realized it. I went to the fire station to open the fire hall, which was 1, 2, 3, and 4. It's no longer that now, but it wasn't 1, 2, 3, and 4. It's like 4, 2, 1, 3. And I stood there 15 minutes and couldn't. That's brain fog, and I couldn't figure it out. So 15 minutes, people were driving by, probably thought I was trying to break in. You know, but, and I couldn't put my brain around it. You hear me? That's what this brain fog does. But what it literally does is it distracts us from purpose. If we haven't the proper hydration from Jesus, then our purpose gets distracted. I've saw that happen tons of times when I was in seminary. I had guys that, in my opinion, had a dynamic, strong calling of God to move forward into the areas of what we call ministry. I say all that because I'm real tired of the full-time, part-time ministry and all that. Our country and Europe are pretty much the only ones that even think that way. You go with me to India, to those churches, they got a lead guy, which they do call him pastor, but then everybody else just functions. There's not all this, you know, there's not all this caste system. But they have, what was I just saying? I just had a brain fog. Oh, yeah, thank you. And so they had this, they would have this great passion, but then they'd got a good job. So now there's this battle between a good job and, you know, there's a battle between fulfilling purpose and getting that new car. You know what I'm saying? And so some of them, you know what? We were in the identical position. We were engaged to be married, and my job, I worked at Safeway, and my uncle was a big shot with Safeway, so I, you know, I'm telling you that because they offered me a good position. Part of that was because he was a big shot, I'm sure. But they offered me, this was in 1975, they offered me a position for $150,000 a year, plus, you know, benefits and stuff like that. And so I go to my fiance, and I look at her, and I'm like, what should I do? And to this day, she's still the same way. She looks at me and goes, do what you feel like you should do. Well, that threw it right back in my face, you know. And so, but you know, and so I did the choice that I did. That's not to make me look good. What I'm saying is there are opportunities when we get this brain fog. Brain fog happens because we haven't been watering ourselves. We haven't been taking in this water that Jesus gives us, freely gives us. We haven't done it, so our brain gets fogged up, so our purpose gets messed up. And then there's so many good things. I'm telling you, good things in dehydration. How's that? Insomnia. Insomnia is, listen, really, if you can't sleep at night and you're not bitter against somebody, take some water and drink water because it helps you. She's laughing because that's the whole point that I'm making. Let me tell you what the biggest creation of insomnia is, and that's bitterness. It is. And I've told y'all a million times, bitterness is like swallowing poison and waiting for the other person to die. Bitterness will never work. Bitterness has never worked. And you can't hang on to bitterness and sleep well at night. I'm telling you, water that area bitter. How do you water that? I'll tell you how I water my own. I pray for the one I'm bitter against. I've shared that story a million times with you about California, a guy that did us wrong, and he did do us wrong. It was legitimately he did us wrong. On paper, he did us wrong. If I could have sued him, I could have sued him. You get what I'm saying? So this isn't something I made up. He did my wife and I wrong, and I was angry, and so I watered. I didn't even know what I was doing. God is so good in that. So I just started. There's one scripture came to me, pray for those who use you. So I'm like, all right, I'll pray. And I prayed. And then all of a sudden, I'm starting to have a little compassion. That made me mad. So I tried to stop God from doing it. I ain't crying for that, man. Good God. He ain't. Quit it. Well, okay, God. You know what I'm saying? I watered. I didn't know what I was doing. I watered this area. But you know what? I slept like a baby. You know how I judge if I'm holding something against somebody? By how I sleep. We've gone through some tense situations around here. Man, some of y'all have been here. Years ago, we had to kick three ladies out of this church, man, because they just had to kick them out. They just had came in forever and told me I wasn't supposed to be here. Some other guy's supposed to be here because God is going to heal this particular person. You need to leave. And I let it go. Then we did it the Matthew 18 way. We did it properly. But we ended up, thank God, we had a Friday night service at that time because there wasn't a whole lot of people here. And had to boot them out. But here's, you know how I knew my heart was pure? I could sleep. I'd wake up. In fact, I would wake up the next morning and go, this is how I do, by the way. I go, thank you, Jesus. Because that's when I know. So there's areas you need to water. If you can't sleep at night, you don't need an Ambien. You know what they are? Or a bar. Or back in my day, it was Quaalude, but that was back in my day. You don't need those. You need to water that area. Because you're thirsty and you don't realize it. Insomnia, dry eyes. You know what dry eyes simply means? No tears. You've run out of your tear duct tears. You can't cry tears. Been there? Done that? Dude, I love working with the fire department because they can't even say that made me cry. Here's what they say, and I don't know, Jake's here, I don't know if they say this at the Fort Worth, but here they say watered up. What happened? Well, I watered up a little bit. Okay. So I just tell them, well, I water up a lot. I've watered up. You know, the word says in Psalms where David said that God catches every one of our tears in a vial and that it's precious to him. Baby, I got me a 55-gallon barrel that he's probably going, man, this smells just way too strong. So, dry eyes, that's no tears. That can be non-emotion. That can be whatever. There's nothing better in the physical realm than a good cry. And I've shared this too, but when my daughter died, I slept in my office for the first 2 or 3 months. And I would get up in the middle of the night and drink water, thinking, I didn't know none of this dry eye stuff. I just think like a car. You run out of gas. I just thought, maybe I'm crying so much I'm going to run out of tears. So I would drink. And sure enough, I'd be thirsty. Isn't it weird too sometimes? Because it is for me. There are times when I don't feel like I'm thirsty. I'm like, you know what? I probably should drink some water. And the second I start drinking it, this happened to me 2 weeks ago. And the thing, I don't like, because of bedtime, I don't like to drink it late at night water because I have to get up. And all you young bucks, you just remember, there's payback and all this. But anyway, so it's like 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. And, you know, I'm kind of thirsty. And so I'm like, I don't want to drink too much, but I'll quench my thirst. Dude, I shot 2 8-ounce bottles, man. Go, 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 go. Go, 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 go. And my first thought was, you're going to be up all night. But the truth is, because I was dehydrated, I was not up all night. I didn't realize I was dehydrated till I put it to my lips. I'm like, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but you know what? Put it to your lips and see if there's something there that doesn't satisfy. He is so good. Amen. He's just good. And I'm good that being bad, I can go to him because he's good. The word says you can go boldly to the throne of grace. Why? Not because of you. Holy smoke, not because of you. Because of him. Because Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God the Father. Jesus is the one that when God's trying to look around him, Jesus says, no, 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 no. He's just good. So when I'm bad, I go to him because he's God. I go boldly. Love you. Yep. You kind of duck and think he's going to change even though he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So dry eyes, dry mouth. That's what happened to me in my office. My mouth was kind of dry. But what happens with dry mouth is if you really get to where it's bad, your speech is affected. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. I'm down to a couple more and then I'm done. Bad breath.
No.
Seriously, if like people avoid you, you know, or when they talk to you, they kind of lean down so you go over them. You know what I'm saying? Or I'll talk, turn around, I'll talk to you. When you first get married, you for some reason you don't think your spouse is going to have any kind of bad breath in the morning or whatever. But let me tell you, this is kind of gross, but listen to he who has an ear to hear. The reason you get bad breath is because saliva is a disinfectant. And when there's no saliva, bacteria grows. So bad breath is stink. Halitosis is what it is, bacteria that has curdled up. Do you get me? That's gross. But here's what I want you to see. When our yes is yes and our no is no, life is good and we're deep, we're hydrated. But when we get to the point to where our mouth doesn't line up with our heart, hear me? Then that's where we're dehydrated and some bacteria is exploding into others. Even if you, by the way, even if you attach Jesus' name to it, doesn't change it. Because I have, especially in these days of social media, it beats all I've ever stepped in. I can't believe I just said that. Y'all didn't hear it. Good. Say it again. I said it beats all I've ever stepped in. And that's just an old saying I used to say, which you'll figure it out. Anyway, this whole social media thing, what happens is, back before social media, we didn't have the avenue to say something stupid. We just said something stupid, maybe to just a friend, one friend or something, and then we maybe felt dumb, and then we would go back and yield to that friend. Well, now it's social media. So now you have people saying one dumb thing, and they lose their job, or one dumb thing, and they get accused, or what? You hear what I'm saying? So this whole social media has gotten to the point to where, because people can't smell your breath through the computer, man, this is so good to me. This is all fresh. Just, I want you to know, right now, he's just giving me fresh. But it's the truth. So, that's why I when I post, I normally post scripture, because you can't really argue with that, though you can. I've had to unfriend people who didn't like the fact that I posted scripture, because they said that's not what it says. Well, I'm telling you, it's the truth. That is what it says. I cut and paste that, sir. I had a guy walk out of us on church one time when I was reading the Word, talking about where Paul's, where Peter was fixing to go to what's his bucket's house, the Italian dude, Cornelius, Italian dude, sorry, and you know, he had his, I'm sure God had to do this for Peter, because he had his own understanding of who Cornelius was. You know, he's just an old Italian. He wasn't a Greek, nor was he a Jew. And the Lord showed him this thing of in the Word where it says these animals came down, and God said to kill and eat, because Peter was real hungry, waiting for them to cook downstairs. And Peter says, "I am not eating anything unclean." And God says, "What I have cleansed," or I should say, Jesus said, "For what God has cleansed, let no man call unholy." Well, I shared that scripture. And these two people stood up and said very loud, "That doesn't say that in the Bible," and turned around and walked out. Of course, I didn't have it on the screen. They would have had to open their own Bible. But anyway, it's all good. Bad breath. Indigestion. You make me sick. You ever said it? Dude, I'm the king of saying that. Maybe not to anybody. Maybe just I'm learning in my driving skills. I don't scream and yell anymore. I just will say stuff like that. You make me sick. It's probably a female driving that car, and then I'll drive by and it's a guy, and I'm like, oh well. Excuse me for judging. Hey, the good thing is I'm by myself, so nobody knows. But I've grown from the old days. And then the last one I'll share with you is this. Boy, and we can all relate. I think we can all relate. Cramps. When I was in college and I was a young buck and I was 120 pounds, I mean, I was in shape. Well, that sounds like I was anorexic, but I really was 120 pounds, but I was in basketball shape. And we had a basketball tournament at our college between the basketball team and a bunch of other intramural teams and stuff. Well, we ended up, because it was a tournament, we ended up having to play 3 games in a row. So we played 3 basketball games in a row. We did win, by the way. But we had to play 3. And then me and my friend Monty Workup, we jumped in my 1969 Sedan DeVille. Love that car. Anyway, it's a monster car. And we jumped straight into it, and we had to drive to Dallas because we had a valet parking service and had to pick up the money. We get to Dallas, and I'm driving, obviously, and I get out of the car and fall flat on my face. Not everything locked up cramp-wise. Everything. And I'm screaming bloody murder. And Monty gets out, and he's like, "What?" Ah! But then we realize we drink more water, which, by the way, just so you know, a cure for dehydration, too, to make you thirsty is salt tablets. That's what we do. Fire department, some of them, because you get you're in that 80 pounds worth of gear and you're in that for a long time, you're sweating like crazy. Man, you eat a salt tablet, it replenishes your body with salt, because once you sweat out salt, you need more salt. So if you're working for the Lord, you need to keep salting, baby. Anyway, but we cramped up. There is nothing worse than that. You know, now that we're all older here, I'm saying we, notice how I'm putting all y'all. Now that we're older, that can happen in the middle of the night. You know what I'm saying? You're dead asleep. All of a sudden, your toe goes, and people are like, well, here's what you do. You grab it and pull it. What if you can't reach it? What do you mean you grab it and pull it? Yeah, you grab it and pull it. You know how we do it? Ah! Cramp, 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 cramp! Dave's over there, pulling it. And then the rest of the night, you don't even want to move, because if it cramps up again, that's what dehydration does. It cramps our style. Here's the real truth. We need to determine if we want to feel the thirst that's in us, whether we understand we're thirsty. In other words, this message isn't just for, man, I am so thirsty for God, that's the big altar call. No, I want to give the big altar call, but the big altar call is for those who want to replenish themselves in all those areas that I talked about. Because here's the truth, guys, the cross work is completed. And it's completed. And you know, now that it's completed, Jesus invites us to these waters of life. And the only prerequisite to this life in Christ, the only prerequisite to chai or to zoe life, the only prerequisite is thirst. Here's scripture, just so I can finish up right here with all the scriptures that Jesus said. This is out of Isaiah, prophesied tons of years earlier. Is anybody thirsty? What is anyone? I highlighted anyone for a reason. You know what anyone means in the original language? Anyone. Can you believe that? Is anybody thirsty? Come and drink. Is anybody thirsty in your No. Is anybody thirsty? Come and drink. Even if you ain't got no money. Woo! There you go. Sorry. All those people who blame, I don't go to church because all they want is my money. Really? If I wanted money, I would have took that job years ago, you know what I'm saying? Even if I have no money, come take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. And then we move into the New Testament. Jesus replied, I'm the bread of life. Boy, he is. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me won't be thirsty. There are areas in our life where we don't believe, so we are thirsty in that area and we don't even see it. Listen to me, man. Those areas where we think are dark, he sees them. He knows them. He took care of them on the cross for us. You struggle with pornography, fellas? Let me help you out here. The next time you sit down at the computer, the phone, or whatever, and you're fixing to pull up your favorite spot, whatever that may be, hotbabesindenmark.com, whatever. That's, by the way, there's probably is one. So now I said that, they're going, oh, Van Zandt's into porn now. Pull it up. Get ready to enjoy it, and then proclaim, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And keep going. No, you keep going. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Keep going. And it stops. The pencil, what I call the pencil stops. When I'm in counseling, I have couples in marriage counseling. I'll give them both a piece of paper and say, okay, write down everything he needs to change to make your marriage better. Out of ink. Write down everything she needs to change to make your marriage better. Out of ink. Then I hand them a piece of paper and say, okay, now write down what you could change. It stops. It stops. Whoever believes in me. What does that mean, believe? The word pistis. Whoever believes that Christ did, whoever, when you really believe, you will get thirsty because you won't think God is against you anymore. You will know that he is for you. You won't think anymore that he's out there trying to crush you like a bug when you do something wrong. You're going to recognize he loves you, he desperately wants you, and he's overwhelmed with you. And when you get that, you will remain thirsty because you will see how good he is. But don't kid yourselves into saying, oh, you're right, and then walk away with areas of thirst. With areas of dehydration, right? I know God's quickened all that in that whole. Some of y'all are going, oh my God, I'm so dehydrated, and I thought I was doing all right. Listen, and it's not about the checklist. This is not what this is about. God is not up. God's up there. I believe he's pleased with this understanding that we're given. I do believe that, but he's not there with a checklist. He's like, yes, finally, yes, just kind of all avenues. Take that area where, man, it's just a struggle. That's where you need to be watered. It's the area of struggle. The scary one, again, is the constipation because you don't know you need it. You don't know. You know what I'm saying? If you're full of yourself, you don't realize. Every Pharisee and Sadducee was constipated. They didn't see the... Boy, the people are going to run out of here. Our pastor said Pharisees and Sadducees were constipated. That ain't in the Bible. You're right. It ain't in the Bible. Water that area and quit hating me. Here's another one. I'm going to Revelation now since it's the end of the book, I believe. Am I in Revelation yet? I think so, yeah. Give me the other John, sorry. You're right. Let's stay in John. Look at this. On the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds. Let me tell you, this is what had just happened. The Palm Sunday had just happened. And a bunch of Greeks came in and wanted to do something. Anyway, this is what happened. On the last day of the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted. He rarely shouted, handful of times in the Bible. So he yelled this on purpose because he yelled. He shouted to the crowds, anyone, did you know what the Greek word means? You're exactly right. You are a Greek and Hebrew scholar. It's awesome. Anyone who's thirsty can come to me. What's the requisite? Come to me. Come to me. Anybody can come. We forever have said, oh, only a few can come, only when you line up with the way I view that you're supposed to be. No, it's anybody. It's wherever you're at. Do you hear me? And he says, you can come to me. Anybody who what? Believes. It's believes, not anybody who lines their life up with what the preacher says because the preacher struggles with the same thing. Anyone who's thirsty may come to me. Anybody who believes in me may come and drink, not draw. I'll say it again. You drink, you don't draw. For years, I drew because I had to have a sermon for Sunday. I don't do that anymore. You can tell I'm not kind of didn't do normal. You drink. Come to me and drink. For the Scripture declares rivers. Does a river, what does a river do? Flow. It doesn't say, what does it say? It doesn't say, even say oceans. Why? Because the oceans don't flow. They just kind of flop around. It doesn't say what else? It doesn't say pond. It doesn't say lake. Why? There's got to be a reason. Because rivers flow. So come to me and drink. And it's only, if you draw, you will never feed anybody. You might give information, but you won't give any inspiration from him. Hear me. You come and drink. For the Scripture declares rivers of living water will flow from his heart. I can quote you Scripture after Scripture after Scripture. It will mean nothing if it hasn't been, it's not flowing out of that river. Might make me look pretty smart. Okay, now we go to the last part of the book. You know, we read the whole book, we win. I like that's my favorite saying ever. And he also said, this is next week's topic, by the way, probably my favorite one of the seven. It is finished. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To all. What does all mean? Yes. Who are thirsty. That means every single person that's alive right now. They just maybe not see it. Because every man, spiritual man, has a thirst that needs to be quenched, and we've tried every other avenue, and there is something that is in our humanness that we know there's something greater than ourselves up there, and there's this eternal itch to find somebody that would care and love us like we really think we should be cared and loved for, and the whole time there he is, and he's saying, hey, come on! It's me, it's not them, it's not this relationship that you've been chasing after for 100 years. Stop. You know what the Word says? The Word says that blessings will overtake you. And you're running so hard after that new girl that your blessing can't catch up. Stop. Get a little thirsty and let that blessing overtake you. Huh? Sorry. This is all free stuff I'm giving you today, by the way.
I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, to all who are thirsty. I will give if you will line up with the principles that I've told you. I will freely give to you from the springs. Springs. What's the difference between springs and river? Jesus has springs. Spring up, O well, within my soul. Springs of the water of Zoe, which is the Greek word for chai, which is the wonderful word for 2018, which is so cool. One last scripture, right? Here it is, the last one of Revelation. Chapter 22 is the last chapter, by the way, in Revelation. Verse 17 is about five away from the bottom, I believe. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let anyone who hears this, come on. Let anyone who is thirsty, come. Let anyone who desires to, man, I just don't, you, once you've touched his, I say this a lot when you do, for instance, we went on a cruise, our first cruise, we went an inside room. You're on an inside room. Well, then we did a balcony. Well, once we did the balcony, we had to do the balcony because the inside room wasn't good enough. So I always say, you know, once you've kissed, holding hands ain't good enough. And it's true. A lot of us might be holding hands with Jesus. Let me tell you something. Once you kiss, holding hands will never be the same. It'll never be the same. Let anyone who desires to drink freely from this water of life. He sure talked a lot about water. Isn't it funny how he said, I'm thirsty? But he talked so much about water. I want you to stand with me. Michael, you can make your way up here if you're not already. I've seen this part of service done in a billion different ways. Here's what I'm sensing in my heart. Listen to me. This is for all. The areas, and while I was speaking, I know there are areas in the dehydration process that you realize those are areas where you're dry and you didn't know it. Even maybe when I was talking about how the elderly lose their, they have a loss of thirst, even though their body's still thirsty, they don't think that they are. Maybe you've known Jesus forever and it's dry. And you didn't recognize it was dry. Maybe that whole anorexic thing, maybe it's that. Maybe your image of yourself isn't the same as the image that God has of you. Dude, the Word says He formed you in the womb. The Word says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. The Word says that He loves you beyond crazy love. And so, but your image has been distorted and you're dehydrated in that area. Or maybe it's the hangover where you've got something from your past that you just can't let go of, or it won't let go of you. That's an area that needs to be watered. Or maybe it's any of the symptoms of the dehydration process. What I'm saying is, it's very clear what Jesus said. He said, come to those who are thirsty, and I will freely give. No expectations, no having to change clothes, no anything. I will. You come to me, and I'll give you, I will satisfy the thirst that you have. So if any of that stuff I just talked about fits in your position, I want you to physically stand up. If you're not already standing up, I got my eyes closed. You are standing, sorry. And just come. And this is about, listen, the next time you go to pray, when you have a need, all you got to do is say, Lord, water that area in my life. Father, my back has been hurting like, I need you to water that area, that area of belief in me. My kidney. My kidney has been hurting for a while. And I've been watering that area. And it's not hurting anymore. And I hate to say that stuff because it sounds so manipulative. Listen, man. He loves us so much that He offers us this. And the only prerequisite is to come to Him. And maybe this is the part of my life, or my understanding, I can't wrap my brain around. Because every avenue of life where I have reached out to him. He's touched. And that's in areas of relationship. That's in areas of physicalness, my mentalness, all these areas where I've recognized those areas are thirsty. Help. And he does. So I can't wrap my brain around people who don't want to come to a loving God like that. I just can't. I don't know. I just can't wrap my phrony around it. But I even water that area, because then that way I can sleep at night, because that has kept me awake at night. But then he waters and he hydrates me, because his water is a spring. Rivers are nice, but rivers aren't fresh. Springs come straight from the source. So, Father, those that have chosen to be watered in areas of their life this morning, I just pray that you allow that to happen. I pray that you quicken into the hearts of those who don't think they need anything. That you'll move in those areas of our hearts. So, Father, when I come to you, when I pray, and I have needs that I want to present, I want to be able to just walk in and say, hey, I'm thirsty in this area where I'm dehydrated. Fill me with that again. Thank you, Jesus.